Good morning. How many of you like it the easy way? How many of you like it when it just happens and you don't have to work very hard? The expedient thing, the pragmatic thing, the convenient, the practical, the politic. How many of you like that stuff? I mean, I got to tell you, I like it too. The Romans were entirely about this sort of view in the ruling of their provinces. As long as the money went, you could pretty much be who you were if you didn't require them to do much work or whatever. It's like this. They would make an example out of the first thing, the first rebellion, so that they wouldn't have to deal with it anymore. Actually, in AD 70, you can see that the Romans were so tired of the rebellious Jews doing the thing that they just wiped the whole of Jerusalem out because it wasn't worth dealing with. There was money coming from there, but it was too much work to fight it. And so they did the pragmatic thing. They solved it. They made it go away. They did all that. And the Romans were kind of that way. As long as you weren't such a big deal or you weren't hard to get, they would pick the easy way with you. It's why in our text today, last week we talked about it, that there were Roman soldiers in the garden when they arrested Jesus, but they went to the high priest place. Why were there Roman soldiers? Well, because it's easier to have some Roman soldiers at the beck and call of the high priests of the local communities than it is to go solve the problem later. And as long as they were just beating up Jesus, there really wasn't any problem. But anyway, let's go to the text today and read this through. This is from John 18. We're talking about the difference between convenience and staying the course or doing the right thing and the trials and temptations that come that way. This is from John 18:12. So the soldiers, their commanding officer, and the temple guards arrested Jesus and tied him up. First they took him to Annas, since he was the father-in-law of Caiaphas, the high priest at the time, or that year. Caiaphas was the one who told the other Jewish leaders, it's better or it's expedient that that one person should die rather than all of the people. So there it is, Caiaphas. Really, the high priest, because the Romans had changed the whole way the Jewish high priest thing was done. The high priest would be high priest for life. But with the Romans there, in order to not have too much power rest in that, they would require bribery and things like that. And so Caiaphas was the high priest that year. But really, they went to Annas' house because he was the high priest. He's where the seat of the power was, all that stuff. But here it is, right out of Caiaphas, just a line that it's just better to wipe out one person than for the whole people to be killed. You see how that amazing that sounds? If we say it the other way around, it'd be better for everybody to be wiped out if we could just not separate one person. But what they're really getting about is, you know, it's okay to have a little injustice, that most of the people could have some justice. Verse 15, then Simon Peter followed Jesus, as did another of the disciples. That other disciple was acquainted with the high priest, so he was allowed to enter the high priest's courtyard with Jesus. Peter had to stay outside the gate. Then the disciple who knew the high priest spoke to the woman watching the gate, and she let Peter in. The woman asked Peter, "You're not one of that man's disciples, are you?" "No," he said, "I am not." Because it was cold, the household servants and the guards had made a charcoal fire. When we get to the restoration of Peter, this charcoal fire will be a big deal. Anyway, they stood around it, warming themselves, and Peter stood with them, warming himself. Inside, the high priest began asking Jesus about his followers and what he had been teaching them. Jesus replied, "Everyone knows what I teach. I have preached regularly in the synagogues and the temple where the people gather. I have not spoken in secret. Why are you asking me this question? Ask those who heard me. They know what I've said." Then one of the temple guards standing nearby slapped Jesus across the face. "Is that the way you answer the high priest?" he demanded. Jesus replied, "If I said anything wrong, you prove it. But if I'm speaking the truth, why are you beating me?" Then Annas bound Jesus and sent him to Caiaphas, the high priest. Meanwhile, as Simon Peter was standing by the fire warming himself, they asked him again, "You're not one of his disciples, are you?" He denied it, saying, "No, I am not." But one of the household slaves and the high priest, a relative of the man who Peter had cut his ear off, asked, "Didn't I see you out there in the olive grove with Jesus?" Peter denied it again, and immediately the rooster crowed. Last week, we were talking about how Jesus knew the right way and set his mind to pay the price. Let's follow Peter as we go through this a little bit. But before we do that, let's get back to this Jesus thing, that Jesus knew what was in store for him. That was in the last thing. And then, because he knew the betrayal was coming, stepped out and accepted it and presented himself. You couldn't get much different from this in the example of Peter here, where he's kind of, first off, I want to say that Peter didn't go there to deny Jesus. He didn't go there thinking, "I'm going to go there to deny Jesus." He went there as a curiosity. What's going to happen to Jesus? What's going to happen to Jesus? And so he went. And as he got asked, he becomes a little more vehement in his answer about whether or not he's one of Jesus' people. And then somebody, an actual witness, so this actually is the thing. If somebody saw me preach in the temple, ask them what I said. I haven't done anything in secret. So when Peter is asked by the third person, "Who saw? Didn't I see you with Jesus in the grove at the arrest?" "No, you did not." I just want you to know that he went there to sort of find out what was going on and was presented with a struggle, a very human struggle. Are you going to do it the hard way? Or are you going to do it the easy? Or are you going to take the easy way out? Are you going to toe the line? Are you going to pay the price? Are you going to be like Jesus and set your mind and pay the price and say, "I know what's coming. Should I not drink the cup the Father has for me?" Peter, this is the pre-converted, pre-spirit-filled Peter, and the Jews were just almost exactly in the same spot, just very Roman of them. "We're going to do the easy thing here. It's just better. Look, the Romans don't want us to be a troublemaker. And if we have a Messiah right now, it's going to be bad. That's what the high priest is saying. And if it's bad, it would be better to turn over the Messiah." Or, you know, for a minute, they wouldn't even hesitate to turn over an average person over to the Romans just to keep this. And the Romans crucified hundreds and thousands of people. They made examples so that they wouldn't have to fight later battles. It's sort of like sports teams that win big in order to make it so hard for the team next time to come in here and say, "Last time we just got pummeled." You see this in high school sports quite a bit. Peter's just doing the same thing. He's curious, but when posed a question, he doesn't stand up and pay the price. He does the expedient thing. Now, it's not just the pragmatic thing. It's also just like the high priest Caiaphas saying it's better for one person to fail or to be to for us to kill one versus all of us die. He's just doing the same thing, just like the Romans who would always take the easy way out, right? They'd solve a problem ahead of time if they could. But one of the things that's happening here is that in order to fulfill the scripture of Jesus being the obedient one, think about that for a second. If Jesus is the obedient one, none of the others are going to be obedient. All of them will always take the easy way out at some point in time. Not Peter, not the high priest, or not just Peter, not just the high priest, not just the Romans, not just the Jews, not just me, not just us, not just the humans, not just anything. The easy way out is all this thing. So here it is in Isaiah 53. This is verse 8 and beyond. Unjustly condemned, he was led away. No one cared that he died without descendants, that his life was cut short in midstream, but he was struck down for the rebellion of the people. See, the people are in rebellion. Lots of times, he had done no wrong and he had never deceived, but he was buried like a criminal and he was put in a rich man's grave. This is verse 10, but it was the Lord's good plan to crush him and cause him grief. Yet when his life was made an offering for sin, he will have many descendants and he will enjoy a good life, and the Lord's good plan will prosper in his hands. But you, in order for that to happen, it has to be the obedient one. Not one of the obedient ones, but the servant. Capital T-H-E, the one obedient one. That means that all the rest of them have to fall away. And I know that you've got people in your life and I've got people in my life that have fallen away from the way that you hope they would be and all of that. We all do it. I'm not telling you that you have to accept them all back in, but just be aware. It is a very human thing. It's so completely human that only one, the obedient one, only one never took the easy way out, but always did that. And so in this case, taking the easy way out. Anyway, for Jesus to do all this, for him, for the Lord's good plan to prosper in his hands, for him to see all that was accomplished by his anguish and be satisfied that the righteous servant, the one, will make it possible for many to be counted righteous, for he had to bear all the sins, not most of the sins. There wasn't going to be another semi-okay or mostly okay person later to take on some of them. It all had to fall on him, and that meant that even Peter, the acknowledged head of the disciples later, he had to fall away, and he had to do the expedient, the pragmatic, the convenient, the denial. It's so much easier to be in that courtyard when they're beating Jesus, when asked if you know him, to say, no, I don't know anything about it. Look, nobody in that courtyard doesn't know what's going on a little bit. Everybody there is either there to see Jesus get beat, or to see what will happen to Jesus, or to beat Jesus, except for Jesus. Everybody there. Don't you know him? Certainly, another disciple is there too, but that other disciple doesn't stand up and take the beating either. They just go. Peter is the example of them. It was just the pragmatic thing to do, and the whole world, Peter too, had to go the easy way at this spot. We're talking about this in Bible study Tuesday night in 1 Peter 4, verse 3. Haven't you had enough of that old way of life? Or haven't you spent enough of your time doing that old drunken life, the profligate, right? Doing the easy way, going along to get along. Haven't you had enough of that? The results of the expedient, the pragmatic, the convenient, the easy way are always trials and temptations. You know this. The result of taking the easy way out is never going to be a long-term solution. And a matter of fact, we know that even human solutions, when we're trying to do it the good way, but we're not doing it with God, even our human solutions need to be repaired and fixed down the line. If you think that Americans have a problem and we're all going to seek treatment soon, and then you think a different political party is going to solve that problem, don't forget that they're all political parties. I just want to ask you this question just really conveniently. Are you for term limits? Yes, I'm for term limits, but I keep voting in my own person. See? If you voted for an incumbent anywhere, then you're not really for term limits. You're taking the easy way out. It's easy to stand and say, I want term limits. I want things to change. But we keep voting the same people back. And then we get mad when we don't get a different result. It's not new. Even in the mid-1800s, Americans were starting to say that they needed an outsider to come in and solve the problems of America, that the political parties just would go back and forth and nothing would seem to get done. It's literally, and like we think that our political races are so mean and all of that, that Thomas Jefferson, I don't know if you know this or not, Thomas Jefferson, called John Adams effeminate in the election campaign. So he's like a woman. It's always been nasty. It's always been nasty that even from the very beginning, the root of our system is that humans do things human ways. Haven't you had enough? Haven't you already put in your time in the God-ignorant way, partying night after night, or drunken, or just taking the easy way out? But if you stop, but if I stop, people won't understand. That's right. That's what 1 Peter 4:5 says, is that if you stop, your friends won't join you because you're not part of the old gang anymore, and they'll make fun of you, and they'll abuse you for it. But haven't you had enough of just doing things the human way? I just want to ask you right now, are the results of your life from the expediency of your life? Have you taken the easy way out? How often are you going to settle for those kinds of results? The same old, the trials and temptations of Jesus, and the trial of Jesus and the temptation of Peter there to just go the easy way. No, I don't know him. I think you're confused. Rather than to stand and do the right thing and to stand and do that. If you've had enough, if you've had enough of the easy way out, the very human thing, even the Romans or the high priest or even Peter, the unconverted Peter, haven't you had enough? I've had enough. So if you've had enough right now, can you close your eyes, just hear the rooster crow on the easy way out? The third denial, that easy way out. Just hear the rooster crow. Lord God, today as we close our eyes and we think about the easy ways that we've taken, help convert our hearts. Help us to stay the course of following you. Plant yourself so firmly inside us that even when we do it the easy way, we recognize it and admit it and solve the problem. Help us, Lord, move that way. Help us be fed up and tired of the same old, of always doing it the same way and always getting the same results, Lord. Move in us. Heal us from the inside out. In your precious name, Lord God. Amen.